come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now. Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Yes, dude. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Dude, we're actually here and it's not fake.
It's
not recorded.
Live.
It's actually happening.
Check it out. We are live to prove it. August 13th. I'm just kidding.
Now, to be fair.
Yeah.
You guys kind of called me out on Comics Corner. It was like, oh, we don't know if he's going to come. But last week, that was your fault, not mine, because you guys texted me and said, right? Because you guys,
false.
Didn't you guys say that?
No, false. You went to Phoenix last week. Don't lie.
Oh, the week before you canceled. That's what it was. The week before.
Week before we were at the State Fair. Yeah. That's funny.
Fair enough.
It's cool. You're an important individual.
Not true.
You do things. That part's true. You do things.
I do things. Yeah. But you do things.
You do things.
We all do things.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Teo, Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out in studio.
Dude, stoked to be here.
Stoked to have you.
What happens is on the way in, I listen to Comics Corner. And then when I come in, all I want to talk about is the stuff you guys talked about on there. And none of the stuff that we have to talk about on
this
show.
Which is funny because off air, we were totally talking about the Star Wars thing. So,
it's true.
Yeah.
Dude, I have all my theories about that.
So here's the deal. It is Shock Therapy Live, 1 hour therapy session. We don't have phone calls yet. 505-338-3700.
So we're going to talk about Star Wars.
I don't know if we have emails yet.
We do have emails.
No, we don't.
But I have a question first. Pastor Nate, biblically speaking, how do you reconcile Hayden Christensen being in the new trilogy? It doesn't work.
Okay, so here's my theory. If you love Jesus, you've seen the new Star Wars trailer.
Of course.
And in the new Star Wars trailer, one of the best scenes is seeing the melted mask of Darth Vader.
This is true.
So my theory is that all of Episode 7 is centered around Kylo Ren, this new mysterious Sith Lord, who obviously has a Darth Vader infatuation by his costume.
Yeah.
And he's searching for Darth Vader's body throughout the whole entire movie.
But he was burned up!
But this is the thing. His mask was off of him when he was burned in the Ewok village. And so the whole entire premise is Kylo Ren searching for Darth Vader's body, some form of his body, and the final scene is him lifting up that mangled mask of Darth Vader.
Mm.
And now Star Wars has already introduced the idea of cloning.
Yep.
So cloning is not out of the question. Episode 8 now is the cloned version of Darth Vader, who is now back to his original Anakin self, evil Darth Vader, bent on, you know, destroying the world and all the Jedi and ruling, you know. And then now you have, again,
Luke his kid.
And Darth pitted against each other for Episode 8.
Wow. That'd be
crazy. It's a pretty cool theory.
I think that could work.
No, but wait. Darth Vader totally had his helmet on when Luke Skywalker was cremating him.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that would be why
he took it off on the Death Star and then he put it back on.
Well, then let's bring up another question. Why is Luke so crappy at burning bodies?
Oh, man. It was 1983.
I feel like that would be more of a Sith thing than a Jedi thing. So maybe that's why.
Oh, man.
You know what I'd be really interested to find out, too? Because we just see the Emperor fly down a big chute.
Yeah.
What happened to the Emperor? Well, what if someone cloned the Emperor?
Jason Mills, Calvary
like
Knob
that,
Hill at the Lobo Theater, that's actually in the expanded universe that happened, like, before...
He didn't really die?
They cloned him. Like, he had a clone and blah, and all.
Now, granted, we don't see him die, but the big ship that he's on blows up.
He goes down like a chute. Blah! And then the Death Star blows
exactly.
up.
Exactly. That's why, like, the idea of cloning him to me is pretty interesting, because we see the giant ship explode.
Yeah.
So it's like, unless they find, like, an Emperor particle in space.
An Emperor particle.
Oh, there's his nose!
Well, if it was the Emperor, he would probably have stockpiles of clones. In other places.
There's his nose. It looks like a raisin.
Incredible. And scene.
Oh, hey, Chewbacca. Oh, I wouldn't eat that if I were you.
Amazing. Gosh. It is Shock Therapy Live, and we do have email questions, so
we will definitely
get to those. You can chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88FM. Maybe you just want to tell us a little bit about what happened at school this morning. See you at the poll. 2015 went down today. And we had some cool updates from listeners. You can still chime in with your updates. What should we be praying for? What are you praying for on your school campus, in the community around you? And let's go to questions. Teo, what do we got this morning?
All right, we got an email question. They're both kind of short.
Okay.
But here we go. I have a question about marriage. What exactly does the Bible say about domestic abuse and divorce? I know God hates divorce, but isn't it hard for the person being hurt physically or mentally to stick around?
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think that people have a hard time with this. Mm-hmm. In the concept of, well, man, you know, I know the Bible only says that I can divorce for adultery, but I'm being abused. Are you saying I should just stick around and stay and continue to get abused? No, we're not saying that at all. Well, the Bible doesn't condone divorce for any other reasons. The Bible does give permission for separation, biblical separation for a time with the purpose of being restored. And so we will frequently have people who come in and someone in the relationship is being physically or mentally abused, and we will encourage separation. We will encourage even, again, stepping in law enforcement. It's not like, oh, well, so I can't call the cops. I can't. I've just got to accept this. No. You know, we will definitely encourage every possible avenue except for divorce. And so we've had couples that have lived in a separated state for a long period of time. Well, there's restoration. Well, the person, the husband or the wife is in counseling and anger management, you know, seeing therapists to deal with the things that are going on in their lives. And so what we don't promote divorce, there are certain times where we promote biblical separation.
Yeah, I was actually trying to find this resource. I got a story earlier in the week of a couple of people who had been using this moving service that they had founded years ago, and they in turn turned it into that very ministry.
That's awesome.
For battered, abused spouses who are trying to get out. But man, moving is very expensive, finding a place. And so there was this ministry that kicked off that was really the purpose behind it. They
believe
God
great.
Called them to help get away, not necessarily to divorce, but to separate, to leave.
It's huge. I mean, don't believe that lie when you're in that relationship where you're being physically or mentally abused, because part of what an abuser will do, you know, in a situation like that, it's so sad, is they'd say things like, well, you know, you can't divorce me. That's
right.
Wrong. And what about the kids? And they'll begin to guilt you into feeling like you need to stay there, stay in that relationship, continue to let yourself be abused. You don't need to.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't please God to see you be hurt mentally or physically. And so I think it's very important that you get out of that house.
Right.
And oftentimes the first step isn't to think about, well, you know, what is this going to mean? It's just to get out of there.
Right.
And then once you're out of there and you can think rationally, then you stop and you say, okay, now how can I seek restoration in this? What do I need to do to get myself on the right path? But when you're in that situation being abused, your main focus needs to be to get yourself out of that situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, don't let people fool you into thinking that, man, you know, if you try to separate for a time with the purpose of restoration, that, you know, by separating, that means that you're getting a divorce and that, you know, that's breaking God's commandments. You know, it's not. God doesn't want you to stay in that relationship and be used and hurt repeatedly.
What's absolutely frustrating to see is when God's word is abused in that light. And man, I just can't imagine, you know, seeing the word of God in that way going, yeah, but God's word says this, so you have to stay and, you know, in this relationship that could actually probably kill you, but let's use the word of God and let's angle it in a way to, you know,
and I've heard people say that to Ugh. People who have been in an abusive relationship. I've heard people say, well, doesn't the Bible say that if you know, if somebody slaps you to turn the other cheek, and doesn't the Bible say to forgive and to continually forgive and to not hold a record of wrongs? And it you know, it's disgusting when you think that people will use that in reference to being in a relationship where your husband or your wife is physically or mentally abusing you.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't think that that's right. And I think that it's important when you're in that situation to get yourself out of that situation. And then once you can see clearly, find the path of restoration.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those, maybe you're listening to this and you're on the flip side. Maybe you're that that person who battles with anger, has issues like that. We do have a ministry here at Calvary Albuquerque, When Good Men Get Angry. because you can seek help. It's not one of those, oh, well, I'm just, you don't understand, I grew up this way, or this is the upbringing, or that it, God can change you. But only if you seek out that help, because, man, it's unreal to think that people will just stew in their filth and stay that way. Ugh, it's, I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated by that.
And I'm thinking of other stuff. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. You're thinking of other stuff.
Other stuff.
Gosh, there you go. CalvaryABQ.org for details on, because there's so many ministries on campus.
There are, man,
and
when good men get angry, is such a helpful ministry.
It really
for
is.
People who
it really is.
Who deal with that.
Man, thanks, Pastor Nate. I have no idea. You just train wrecked me. Do we have any
yeah,
other? I know we have another email question.
This one will be a good one. It's short. It says, "Masturbation equals sexual immorality?" Question. That's it.
Oh, wow.
You know, we've talked about this several times,
yeah.
the concept of masturbation. And the biggest issue for me is, you know, masturbation, people say, well, masturbation isn't looking at pornography. And so if I'm not looking at pornography and I masturbate, is that okay? Unless you're thinking about a toaster, which I don't think is really possible.
I don't think that's okay either, man.
I don't know.
About a toaster,
I mean, but you know,
like,
but you
yeah.
know, but that's the thing. People always say, like, well, I'm not thinking about anything. I don't think that's possible to not think about something. And even apart from that, you know, sex isn't meant for just self-gratification.
Right.
And it's meant to be something that between a man and a wife, it's mutually enjoyed. And when it becomes a selfish act where it's about you and about pleasing your needs, it's wrong, whether it's with your wife or whether it's masturbation. When sex just becomes about you and gratifying you,
right.
And when it becomes a selfish act, it becomes wrong.
This was,
and so that's the biggest issue for me with masturbation.
And it's a topic that you would think it's black and white, and yet anytime this has been referenced on the show, we will get an angry email after.
Mm-hmm.
We will get an email from somebody. So let's cover it a little more in depth, because we will. I just know that after the show, we're going to get
totally.
The guy that says, well, what? Okay, hey, I'm on the road 6 months out of the year. What
or,
if I'm thinking
I'm deployed.
About my
I'm
wife
deployed for a year at a
right,
time.
Right.
And, you know, the only way I can see my wife is via Skype. And if there's, like, you know,
yeah.
sexual intimacy via Skype, is that okay?
Is that okay? We've had those questions. And so, you know, with that general of a question, I wish there was more to it, because, I mean, is it wrong?
But even within that, let's play the hypothetical. Let's
okay.
say the guy text emailing in is a serviceman,
okay.
and he's deployed to Afghanistan,
right.
and he's there for a prolonged period of time, and he wants to stay faithful to his wife. And so, you know, once a week, he and his wife have a little Skype call, and he pleasures himself. And she pleasures herself
yeah.
via that Skype. Is that okay? What would you say?
Man,
because to me that is like the ultimate, you know, the ultimate scenario that someone wanting to argue
right.
that masturbation is okay
well, see,
would
and
use.
Then again, but as we're talking about it, the act of masturbation is self, and now we're not talking about self. We're talking about a husband and a wife. Within the confines of marriage, doing something separately together, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So to me, that is something completely different.
Agreed.
However, if we're talking about, like, oh, I'm on a business trip and I got, you know, I'm by myself, but I'm thinking about my wife, and you know, your body's not your own. Scripture talks about the fact that your body's not your own. That, you know, wives, your body's not yours, but it's your husband's, and vice versa, husbands. And so, what is the ultimate goal? What is the motivating factor behind wanting to get off? Is
Agreed.
It to, because we'll also get emails, and we've gotten these emails before, from somebody who said, no, bro, science. It's scientifically proven that it releases this kind of chemical, and it does this thing, and if we don't release it during, you know, a certain way, you know, we'll explode, or, you know,
yep.
and it's like,
And to that I say, 13-year-old kid, stop drinking Mountain Dew in your basement and get a life.
Wow. Yeah. But that's, I mean, I don't want to say that's an overgeneralization, because we obviously, we do the show for a reason. We do regularly get emails. And
yeah.
you would think, hey, it's going to be the 13-year-old kid. And a lot of times it's the
30-year-old
40-something,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who still, because they never
I don't know. This is my thing. I look at a guy like Paul, you know, very much was confident in his celibacy and his call to the Lord.
Yeah.
And he encouraged others, if they could, refrain from sexual conduct to do so.
Yeah.
We have no record of Paul masturbating. Like,
right.
He's like in Corinth and he's having a really hard night and so he masturbates. We don't have any record of that. And I don't think, like, I would think that if Paul was like, you know what, that's okay, and I do that he would have written in that letter and said, hey, you know, if you can stay celibate, then just masturbate and serve the Lord all your life. But he didn't say that. And so, you know, it's possible to say, well, maybe he doesn't, just because he didn't say it doesn't mean that he didn't do it. Yeah, of course that's possible. But, right. You know, I think that it's reading a lot into who Paul was to say that Paul masturbated on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And so I think that we only have what we have and what the Bible says, not what the Bible doesn't say, and reading in the subtext of what it doesn't say. And so based on what the Bible says, I think that in general, masturbation isn't okay. Will there be that circumstance, like what we referenced, of the man and the wife agreeing on it together?
Right.
And in that play, you know, again, I believe, like what you said, that verse of the marriage bed is undefiled would come into that role within that place.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the same way, we don't say, well, couples can only have sex. They're not allowed to do anything else. No foreplay. You know, they can't do anything else except sex. Right. No, the marriage bed's undefiled. So I think in that situation,
right, within,
you know,
the confines,
that's
marriage.
Okay. Now, does that mean husband, you can be like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to ask my wife to do that, and so I'm just going to, like, you know, be at a hotel room and just think about her and do that.
Yeah,
well, no,
see, that's called
concealment.
Wrong.
Yeah, again, yeah. And so I think that if it's something that you and your wife mutually agree upon that is okay and acceptable, now, again, for you two to do with each other, because that's the reason I've got to keep prefacing myself is you're like, well, my wife and I mutually agree that it's okay for us to look at porn. Well, no, that again, that's not okay.
And we've had those questions before, too.
That's why it's important for us to, when you get into a topic like this, you've got to, like, everything you say, you've got to say, but,
right.
but.
Well, but that's probably why when we talk about sexual immorality, that's probably why Paul put it under this ginormous umbrella, because it was all encompassing for a reason, mm-hmm. so that you couldn't go, well, yeah, but what about, because the question that we got initially, Teo, wasn't it just masturbation? Question mark.
Masturbation equals sexual immorality? Question mark.
Okay. So obviously, because...
So yes, it does.
Okay.
Because in the same way, if I got a vague question that said sex equals sexual immorality? Question mark.
It can.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
If that's the simple answer you want without backstory and what situation you're in, the answer is yes.
Yeah. All right.
Because the reason why is I'd rather err on the side of drawing you a line that says don't go past this instead of allowing you to peek over the edge.
Yeah.
And so when you get a question like that, what they're really wanting you to do is draw them a boundary that they're not sure so that they can cross that boundary or not.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case and I don't know a backstory, I'd rather err on the side of you being too holy than you having too much liberty.
Okay. There you go. All right. Way to answer. Three-word question. 174,000 word answer.
ending in a one word answer.
There you
yes.
go. Yes. I like that. Oh, man. It is Shock Therapy Live. We do this every single Wednesday morning, and we would love to hear from you. We know that it is sensitive material.
One Wednesday morning each month, typically. Sometimes two.
Hey, next Wednesday we'll totally be here, right? Right, guys?
Yeah,
guys,
man.
I leave Thursday for...
Dude, that's fun. Are you excited about that?
I'm so stoked. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So
New York.
Not next. Do you know what? I'm here for 2 more weeks.
No, yeah, it's not next. It's the next one.
Dang it. 2 weeks. Very excited. I've never been to New York City, so.
I'm going to L.A.
Oh, cool.
In December.
For what?
Disneyland. There's a airline. There's an airline that should not be named.
Oh, right.
They had
right.
tickets for $39
yeah,
to
I saw
LA.
That. Yeah.
So I flew my whole entire family out, 4 people round trip for 11,000 points.
Wow.
Because I had Sky Miles.
Oh, okay.
Or not Sky Miles, just miles.
Whatever they're called.
Whatever they're called. And so we're going out there. We have friends who have box seats to the Chargers. So we're going to go see the Chargers Broncos.
What?
Play
cool.
in a box in San Diego and go to Disneyland and
I
just
like
have
that.
A fun little trip.
That's cool, man. Very, very
excited.
Cool. It is Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We get it. It's sensitive material, but
yeah.
We don't know your voice, so it's okay if you want to call in anonymously. You can do so.
If you're feeling depressed over your NFL fantasy
football team. Oh, I know I am.
Are you?
Oh, I'm 0-2 and like all pretty much all my leagues.
Mine sucks too.
However,
I'm always winning because I don't play that crap.
There you go. I'm in the championship for fantasy baseball though, and it's a league that I've been in for years, and it's one of those like, hey, every year we just put money in a pot, and then, so if I win this week, it's like that would take care of my vacation.
So hey, tell me, is that FanDuel and all that stuff that you see commercials for? Is that just a way for men to go in debt and get divorced by their wives?
Essentially, probably.
Pretty much.
I've never done it. No,
because you see that one guy who's like, I only deposited $35 and I won $2 million.
$2 million.
Then they don't say that guy who said, I deposited $56,000. My wife left me, and now I don't have a house or a car, and I'm living in my storage unit.
Right.
They don't show that guy.
But my team won. Oh yeah.
I feel like that wouldn't be good marketing strategy for
But
them.
It'd be a great SNL
but it's
skit.
Real life.
It'd be a fantastic SNL skit.
It's probably actually it. That which begs a good question. Good, is that considered gambling?
And
is
100%,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And is that a sin, you know? Cuz I have friends who play the lottery every week, who it's like, hey, gotta throw that $5 down. It's just $5, you know.
This is the thing with that, especially with something like, you know, one of those online poker. It's a storied fact of how many people lose thousands of dollars playing online poker.
Yeah.
And I think something like that, like the FanDuel or something, where you can be in a fantasy football league and you pay for players and whatnot. Guys truly can lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in that, and it's addicting because you say, oh man, I almost won. I'm going to make a better pick this time.
Right.
And especially with something like fantasy football, it's less like a lottery because you feel like you have a say in you winning. Like, if I choose the right person,
right,
I'm going to win. So I think that there is such – it's like horse racing. You know what I mean? It's just another form of horse racing, except you're betting on human beings. So it's even a little worse.
Circle back to the Colosseum. Cool, man. Sweet. Thumbs down. Oh, no. Yeah.
Colosseum. I'm not an Oakland fan. Get out of here.
No, dude. Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to the show. If you would like to hang out with us, do so. You can send an email, too, if you'd like to keep it anonymous. studio@star88.fm. That's
What do you think about the Angels?
What do I think about them?
I'm sad.
I think we won last night. We eked out a victory against the Astros.
I don't think we're going to get the wild card.
I don't either. We're 3.5 back, right? Still 3.5 back?
How far,
we lost Teo. He fell asleep.
How far back are we from Houston?
Texas, the Rangers are winning the West.
I know, Rangers are winning the rest. So are we 3.5 back from Texas or 3.5 back from Houston?
I think we're 4.5 back from Texas, but we're 3.5 back in the wild card. I don't know.
Hey, we got a question.
But I wanted to talk to
I know. Baseball. I'm glad this came in. Facebook question. I am 29 years old and now have 6 disabilities, 3 of which are rare. I would list them, but they would make pronouncing them, or that would make pronouncing them difficult. I have eye surgery today around noon, and they're unsure about what is causing my eye problems. I trust God with my life, with my wife, my 2 kids, and I'm trying to give it all to Him. A lot of people and doctors are surprised that I'm so young, yet my body is so broken. I may not be able to work again, and we are struggling financially. What are some biblical suggestions for dealing with all of this?
Man.
You know, it's tough because the verses that immediately come to mind is verses like where Paul asked the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh. It's something we don't know about. We're not sure what it is. A lot of people think that it was actually eye problems and that he was blind or going blind. But we don't really know what it is. But there's a great verse where he's sharing his struggle and his story, and he says that he asked God to remove it 3 times, and each time God wouldn't remove it, but that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is shown in your weakness. And so that's the immediate verse that I think of, is this concept that God's grace is sufficient for us, and there really is this mentality that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and people who are Christian and non-Christian both go blind.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to trivialize the pain that you're in by
not at all.
But that human beings, whether Christian or non-Christian, experience disabilities. The thing that separates you from a non-Christian is you have a hope after this life. Mm. You have a hope that once this life is over, once this life has ended, you can live in perfection in heaven where those disabilities will be healed forever for eternity, and you can live in that joy. And so really the only thing that separates a non-Christian from a Christian is hope for the future. You know, the non-Christian will experience disabilities just like the Christian, but there's no hope for them afterwards.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the hope that Christ offers us when he says that there's a future and a hope, it's a future and a hope, not a right now and a hope. Yeah. The future is heaven. You know, when God says that he'll give us the desires of our heart, he's speaking of his desires implanted within our hearts. And so I think, a big issue within the church today, I just spoke on this recently, is a misinterpretation of Scripture. And viewing the promises that God has made, viewing them improperly, and then holding God to promises that he never has made, and saying, well, man, I thought God would heal me on this earth, when there's no promise that he would do such a thing or that he would do so. And so I think it's important to understand that the hope that we have is a hope for the future.
Yeah.
And I think we need to rest firm in that hope.
I would also say this week, actually, on 107.1 FM, our sister station, KNKT, James McDonald at 5:30 a.m. and at 12:30 p.m. has been going through a series on this very thing. Mm. And so when I'm here in the morning prepping for the morning show, James McDonald is usually screaming in the background, "Ah! James McDonald, I'm a yell!" But I actually enjoy listening to him sometimes. And right now, I'm enjoying this series because he's talking about this very thing, the thorn, and how we didn't know what it was. And he talked about disabilities. He talked about those things. And one hope that we do have in this life is found in Romans 8:28. It says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." As a Christian, we can say this, that God is doing something in your life. God has not forsaken you. He's not given up on you. Did God cause this? No. However, what James McDonald was saying this week, he was paralleling Job and the idea that all these great calamities fell on Job. And did God cause them? No, but God did for a time remove his hand and say, "All right, Satan, you can do these things." He allowed them, if you will. But we also saw him completely restored, and we saw this very thing that God knew ahead of time, the outcome, if you will. And he wouldn't allow something, he didn't cause it, but he wouldn't allow something if it wasn't for a greater purpose, if it wasn't for the good of those who love him, who are called according to that purpose.
Now, even within that, because that is one of the most misquoted verses as well,
yeah.
Romans 8:28. And so, you know, I don't know how James McDonald categorizes that, but the good that it's speaking of in Romans 8:28 is not a good in this life.
Yeah.
The good is glorification.
Right.
If you follow the train of thought of Romans 8:28 all the way down to verse 30, it starts off on this concept. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to mm-hmm. those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Then the thought continues, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he called. Whom he called, those he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Yeah. So the good that it's speaking of in Romans 8:28 is not saying that, hey, every bad thing that happens to you in this life is going to result in something good happening in this life.
Right.
It's saying, no matter what you go through in this life, God has foreknown you, God has predestined you, God has justified you, and ultimately God will glorify you in a glorified state in heaven.
Right.
So the good that it's speaking of in Romans 8:28 is heaven.
Right.
And so again, one of the most misquoted verses, people say, all things work together for good, so even though you're going through something bad, it's going to work out for good.
No, well, I'm definitely,
the good that it might work out for is you dying and going to heaven. And unfortunately, we don't want to think about that, but that's the reality.
Or for leaving a legacy of showing a phenomenal example, as he mentioned, a spouse and children.
Totally.
And that's exactly what James McDonald was talking about, was the idea of shining for Jesus in that calamity, in
huge.
That thorn, in that, because God knows. God obviously knows way better than we do, because, man, if it were up to me, there are a few situations in lives of friends around
totally.
Me that's like, if only I could change that one thing. But God knows, and
I think,
and he will be glorified.
You know, one thing that I just taught on a couple weeks ago is that I think what separates a Christian from a non-Christian is a Christian's call is to find purpose in the pain.
Yeah.
And so I look at Paul. You know, again, Paul was jailed and he was put in prison. And you know, he penned these great words, because these words to the Romans were probably penned when he was in prison. All things work together for good. Well, that's said from a guy who's in prison. And so the non-Christian would say, well, what good came from that? Well, he went from prison to prison until ultimately he died.
Yeah.
So a non-Christian would say there's no good there, but the Christian would say, well, he was jailed and he was put in prison, and ultimately he got to go to Rome because of being in prison and preach the gospel, and many people got saved
right.
because of his imprisonment. Paul found purpose within his pain, and although he was not delivered from his pain, although his pain did not culminate in deliverance, his pain culminated in a purpose that God had, and the good was not him being cured of his pain or being taken from prison. The good that came from his situation was that people got saved.
Exactly. And there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, man.
That was good.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
So we got a call on line one. She has questions about the scriptures that involve like binding things on heaven and earth and how that relates, like when you bind Satan in a prayer.
Okay. All right. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello, line one.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for your show. You guys are amazing. I feel like you've already answered my question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So my question is, when it comes to the scripture that reads, whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, I think Western cultures are, they don't always focus on that. It's all about, you know, serving God and, you know, have your prayers directed to God and ask God for those concerns. But I think in other cultures, and I'm originally from Nigeria, and I think culturally we tend to, well, you can bind Satan because Christ bound Satan at some point and with temptation and things like that. So what is your opinion on that? And I know you guys are talking about misinterpreting the scriptures, and I know that I don't ever remember Paul ever binding Satan, so I just thought I'd ask you guys what you guys think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, that verse where that you're referring to is Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, and it's not speaking of Satan or demons whatsoever.
Right.
Rather, it's speaking about someone who's sinned against you and about how you should respond to someone who's sinned against you. And so that verse, that people would use that in the idea of binding Satan, is a very unbiblical concept or a very unbiblical principle. And we do not have the power to bind Satan.
Mm-mm.
Jesus has the power to bind Satan. And so oftentimes in my prayer, if I feel like I'm experiencing spiritual warfare, I won't pray to Satan and say, I bind you, Satan, because prayer isn't meant to talk to Satan. It's meant to talk to God. And so I'll talk to God and say, Lord, please bind Satan. Lord, please, you know, if the enemy is wanting to attack me in this situation, please tie him up so that he cannot do that. I'll often do this before church. I'll pray that the Lord would let everything go well, and that if Satan would desire to distract anybody, that he would not be able to, you know, bring in any kind of distractions into that service. But I'd pray that to God, not to Satan. And even within that, I'd recognize that just by asking that God would do so, it doesn't mean that he will do so. God's ultimate plan isn't to bind Satan now, but it's to throw Satan into a pit of fire, ultimately. And so, you know, God's intention isn't to have Satan tied up. As a matter of fact, right now, God has loosed Satan, and Satan is free to roam and to prowl like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God's ultimate plan is to bind Satan, but God's plan right now is not to keep Satan bound in chains. And so, you know, I think it's interesting for a lot of Christians to think that they have more power than the angels do within that, and think, well, man, you know, I have the power to bind Satan. Well, I don't think that we do have that power. And so I think that, you know, within that, we need to look at the entirety of Scripture and realize, again, Satan will be bound eventually. But the purpose and the intention is not to bind him right now.
Yeah.
It's great.
Does that help?
No, it did. It did. You made a good distinction, meaning some of those prayers are still appropriate. They just need to be directed at God.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And again, the prayer can be appropriate, but the prayer isn't founded in that scripture. So,
right.
So you know, we shouldn't use that scripture and say, well, whatever is bound on earth can be bound in heaven in reference to that, because that verse is not speaking of anything even remotely close to binding Satan or a demon. So,
right.
So it's still okay to pray that God would not let the enemy attack you. It's still okay to pray, you know, that God would restrain Satan from attacking you at certain times, but I definitely wouldn't use that verse in reference to it, because that would be a misinterpretation or a misquoting of scripture.
Right. What would be a correct scripture reference for our authority or lack of authority to bind Satan? And I say that because you said Jesus bound Satan and only God has the authority to do that. But then there's also scripture, and I might be misinterpreted again, but that says, you know, I've done these things and greater things will you do as well. So how do we reconcile those two things?
Yeah. So again, there's no scriptural reference for us having authority over demons. So to be able to pray and say that we have, you know, that we have authority, that we as human beings have authority, again, God has authority. And so the verses that I would pray, you know, when I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord would deliver me from spiritual warfare, I'll often pray a verse in Daniel, where Daniel doesn't think that God is coming to deliver him, is coming to speak to him. But finally, when an angel, a messenger of the Lord comes, that messenger of the Lord says that he was in locked within battle with the spirit of Asia, and that he was in battle for, I forget the period of time. Do you remember the period of time, Steve-O? Something like 29 days is what I want to say. But I'll often pray that just as God sent a messenger to battle Satan, or to battle a demon, I'll often pray that God would send angels to guard me, to protect me, because that's a very biblical principle in a mindset, is that God would send his messengers, his angels, to set up a hedge of protection around you, to protect you from spirits, to protect you from spiritual warfare, to battle those battles for you, because we can't battle that battle ourselves, but that God would send his messengers to fight that battle for you. So I'll often pray that, and I'll say, Lord, just like you in times of old sent messengers and sent angels to protect your people from spiritual warfare, Lord, do the same for me as I prepare to go teach, Lord. I pray that you'd set up around me a hedge of protection, that you'd protect me with your messengers, with your angels, Lord, that you would not let Satan or any spirit lay a hand on me as I go about your work. I'll often pray that because that does have a biblical standpoint and precedence within the Bible.
Yeah. I immediately thought of the when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the idea of binding the strong man, not binding on earth and loosing on earth and binding in heaven. You know, I thought of that the context and the reference of binding the strong man, because that I've seen used greatly on TBN and not to. No, you know what? To call someone out, Benny Hinn uses this regularly. Benny Hinn will use this as an example for how we have this power and authority and how we are to bind the strong man, and that's what we got to do. But Jesus was using a metaphor because the Pharisees were attacking Jesus, saying, oh, look at this dude. He's casting out demons, and so he must be using Satan's power. And Jesus uses this metaphor, basically, and is like, hey, bro, that doesn't make any sense. A kingdom, you know, divided here is going to fall on its Why would I, if I was under the power of Satan, why would Satan use his power against himself? And that reference to the strong man and being able to bind it, he was basically saying, my father's power, the power of God, is greater than this guy's power that he was using. It never, ever, 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 ever tells us, as you've been saying, Nate, it never tells us to, yeah, like, to go on the offensive and become demon hunters and bind up, you know.
The examples we have, too, are opposite.
Yeah.
Right? Most of the examples where humans interact with demonically possessed people or demons, the humans get their, like, butts kicked, you know, to go base level with it. But straight up, it's like, don't mess with this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a great book I'd recommend you read. It's by Warren Wiersbe. He's one of my favorite Bible expositors. And it's called The Strategy of Satan. And it's a fantastic book, one of my favorite, about spiritual warfare and about how, as Christians, what we can actually do to detect and to defeat him. And it really focuses on the power of God. It's a fantastic book. I'd recommend you pick it up. It's a short book, too. It's only about 31 pages. But it's called The Strategy of Satan by Warren Wiersbe.
Yeah.
The last name is W-I-E-R-S-B-E. SBE. And it's a fantastic book, and I think it would really go in depth to some of the questions you have about what we as Christians can and cannot do in reference to Satan and to demons.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. You're
Thank
so
you.
Welcome.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Shock Therapy Live. We still have about 15 minutes of show. If you'd like to chime in, hang out with us, give us a call, 505-338-3700, or, of course, facebook.com/Star88FM. I would like to give a shout out to Hollywood for totally screwing up our theology on casting out demons. I'm looking at you, Constantine. Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
watch that show.
Yeah, well, you're,
good show?
You're the jerk that got it canceled then.
Thanks,
I don't
Nate.
Like you. Was until
show.
It got canceled. People like you. No, you really
I
really did.
I've had it on my Hulu queue for like ever, and I never watched it.
You know, there is a fascination, though, you bringing that up.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's just a giant fascination
with Keanu
humanity.
Reeves?
Well, of course. That's
a
given.
He's the greatest
man.
Actor on the planet.
We're not even,
he was the
we don't even have to address it because that's such a. There's so much of a given.
So biblically sound.
But just with humanity versus demons.
Totally.
And like over. Do you think it comes just. I don't know. Do you think there's just high entertainment factor in it?
I think there really is just a fascination with the things that we don't know about, with the things that we can't see. So there's always been a fascination with the paranormal, with, you know, vampires or werewolves or mummies or, you know, demons. You know,
yeah.
I think that we're fascinated with those things because to us as human beings, it seems like there's a power there that we don't understand. And it's the power there that even many people wish that they could control.
Yeah.
And so we want to know about it. We want to hear about it. And I think it's, you know, we care, oftentimes we care more about that than the things that we should care about. And I think it really comes from that fascination that we as human beings have with the things that we can't understand.
You know what's interesting? If you want to see a fascinating take on American culture and this very thing, like the occult and quote-unquote powers and such and whatnot, I was a horror movie fan. Loved them all. I can't really say that I still love horror movies.
Well, it's different when you have kids.
Well, and it's different because I think culture has changed. I own the entire Universal Monster movie collection from the 30s and 40s. Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon. I still love, present tense, those films. I have the action yeah. figures and blah, 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 blah. My kids and I, we'll watch them together. They're black and white.
There's a bit of an innocence to those, though.
Well, here's the difference. If you want to take a look at the culture of Hollywood then versus now, and you want to take a look at the culture of the church then versus now, back then, everything we're saying actually kind of lines up with what happened. You take a look at Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, and they turned it into this Hollywood film back in the 1930s, 32, I believe, with Bela Lugosi. And what was the power? The power came in the cross. The power came through the church, if you will, and it was not something of yourself that you had. Nobody took on Dracula to fight him off. It was truly only the holy water, the cross, these things that were elements that were quote-unquote holy back then. There was a reverence and a respect, and it was different. Same with something like the Wolfman and films like that. It always came back to something outside of yourself, but it always came back to the church, if you will, or God, if you will. And nowadays, it's like, all right, man, Hansel and Gretel, demon hunters, all right, let's go take it.
Or even now, I think even more so, even out of Hansel and Gretel, I think there's more right now of a fascination with the occult and demons.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, a lot of the horror movies now, you watch and you feel dirty afterwards,
yeah.
you know, because like you watch something like Insidious or you watch something like, you know, one of those movies and it's like you leave it feeling not good.
That's why I actually enjoyed the film Devil. Did you see
yes,
Devil?
Yes, loved it because again, it put the power on back to God.
Back to the Lord.
And I didn't see it, but they said The Conjuring was the same way. And I think the funny thing, the whole like meta take on it, is you see how our culture has given up on the idea of hope and God in a lot of ways because even back then in our horror movies, there was something else that was the final hope that
right.
was more powerful than evil itself.
Right.
And now most horror movies, the demons laugh at the priest or
yep.
laugh at the Christian.
Yeah.
Or even in like the goofy ones like the Troll Hunter or whatever, the troll eats the Christians, you
right.
know. Yep. And it's just we've as a culture and especially, you know, like entertainment wise, we've given up on there being like a greater hope.
Right.
You know, but then you see movies like The Conjuring or The
Who was a Christian filmmaker.
Yeah, and he's the guy that's doing Doctor Strange, and I'm so stoked.
But
you see that, and there's something else. And because the protagonist in that movie, even though it's based on a, quote, true story, and they're crazy, you know, I guess they're like actual witch or ghost demon hunters or whatever, yeah. and all that. But anyway, their whole thing, the reason they would go and try to, like, pursue this stuff is because they trusted the Lord with it, and they would try to, like, exorcise demons from places.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's interesting.
Have you seen the preview on iTunes for that new horror movie that's coming out called The Witch?
Yes.
No.
Looks scary.
It genuinely, like, when the preview makes you feel unsettled.
Yeah, be a little.
You're like, okay.
It looks like if Blair Witch was actually scary.
Oh, okay.
I heard about it on USA Today, and they said, by far the scariest trailer of the year, and they said, luckily the movie doesn't come out until next year, so it gives us enough time to recover from the trailer before we see the movie. Is what
see,
USA
I can't
they
hang
said.
With stuff like that.
Dude.
I am excited. I got an email yesterday, actually, because my wife and I, you know, we're going to New York for our anniversary, and it's seriously, I didn't plan this, but we were looking at things to do in New York, and NYCC, New York Comic Con, is happening during the time that we're out there, so I got press passes. I actually got an email yesterday. I'm going to be interviewing the artist behind a comic book called Outcast, which already got picked up by Showtime. In fact, I think they're premiering the first episode at New York Comic Con. But it's all about exorcisms and things like that from the creator, Robert Kirkman, who I don't believe is a Christian. Robert Kirkman, he created this little-known comic book called The Walking Dead.
Wow.
So he writes The Walking Dead. He started this new comic series called Outcast. I promise there's a point to this. And what was fascinating about it was this. You know, they said, hey, wait.
Yeah.
You're already doing... Yes. It's about Big Boy and Andre 3000.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Basically, he's doing this comic book about the apocalypse, The Walking Dead. It's about zombies. And so they said, why did you want to do another horror comic? And he said, to me, this isn't a horror comic because with zombies, the apocalypse, that's fun. And it's, you know, something fantastical that'll never happen. This is something in our culture that whether you believe in God or religion or not, this is something genuine that is happening. There are good forces. There are bad forces at work. You know, and he was like, I don't want to get into a religious debate, but essentially started this comic book because there are unexplained things in our culture, and there are forces at work. So I'm excited. I'm going to be interviewing him when I go out there. I got an email on it.
And
so,
again, to your point, that's why, like, I'm as well one of those guys who I used to be a big fan of horror movies.
Yeah.
Because what fascinated me about it is taking something that's not real.
Yeah.
And part of what I love about movies is indulging in an alternate reality.
Right. Right.
Anytime I watch a movie that strikes too close to home or it's about a real subject that I just leave feeling depressed, I don't enjoy it because I'm like, wait, I paid money to disconnect from reality for a little while. I don't want to be in a movie where I'm like, man, I feel like I'm watching a counseling appointment right now and I feel depressed.
Yeah, this is 40. I'm looking at you.
That's the same with that. That's why, like, you know, looking at, you know, horror movies today, it's like, I don't like watching movies about demons because it's like, wait, that's not fake. That's real.
Yeah, that's real.
And I don't, you know, I don't know if I want to watch that.
Sensitive subject matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm very excited. I'm sure we'll talk about
it. That's cool.
I got the email last night. Definitely put in for the email to talk to those guys about why, the fascination behind it, and just even where they're getting source material from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to do a lot of research. Are these guys reading scripture? It'd be interesting to see that. Anyways, it is Shock Therapy Live. Yes, we do talk about anything and everything. We want to know what's on your heart, what's on your mind. What are you going through right now? Maybe you just want to hang out with us and
which
and
inevitably,
chat.
We've got 5 minutes of show, so we're probably going to get 10 people to call, and they're
right.
all going to have deep questions.
They're all going to have really deep questions, so you got to get in
happens.
First. Yeah. 338-3700, the phone number. That's 338-3700. You can also send us an email anonymously if you'd like. studio@star88.fm.
This is Shock Therapy Procrastination.
Yeah, dude. It's the land of manana. This is what happens. John Foreman is this Saturday, and I'm going, dude, how many tickets have sold? So... We're waiting, man. We're waiting. That's going to be a fun show.
It's not just the land of manana. It's the land of people who have bad taste in music.
This is, that's very true. Although I'm excited. Sunday night I will be at a show that I'm very stoked.
Where are you going Sunday night?
Foo Fighters.
Oh, that's fun.
I only camped out for tickets like half a year ago. So it's like, dude, fire! Finally!
It's always odd to me, the shows that sell out in our market and the shows that don't sell
out. Avenged Sevenfold.
That's a bummer. That's really...
Speaking of...
It's a bummer when Fetty Wap and Chris Brown sell out, but Need to Breathe or John Mayer don't sell out.
Right!
No, something really messed up with that.
And speaking of messed up in shows, since we don't have any phone calls, I saw a slew of people destroying some quote-unquote friends of ours on social media this week. POD, I don't know if you guys saw this, they released their new record, The Awakening, had a chance to listen to the whole thing. The music is great.
What do you think of the story, Steve-O?
What story?
It's a concept record.
It's a concept record. So,
it's got like a play.
The funny thing is we're talking about demonic possession. In between every song, it's like this screw tape letters, if you will. A play is happening in between each song. And like this demon's calling this guy. And he's like, oh no, I'm going to die. Like, but it's really bad. I'm sorry. It's really terrible. But I thought the music was great. Great record. Well,
To be honest, I haven't listened to POD since the early 2000s.
See, then you'd probably enjoy this because this harkens back to Fundamental Elements of Southtown or Satellite. It's a great record musically if you can just listen to the music. However, on Monday, they announced their ginormous fall tour and were immediately destroyed because they are opening for ICP.
Oh my gosh.
They are going out
for real?
Yes.
What?
They are going out on the road.
Well, it's in line with who they were, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, touring with Marilyn Manson, and at the time who they toured with before people in Korn got saved with Korn, right?
ICP seems like a different level to me.
Right! So I was like, I didn't have a comment immediately. It's a couple days removed from me, but you guys still have shocked faces like I did when I saw this.
Did they call it the abbreviation tour?
Acronym tour. Oh, man. Yeah, the ICP and POD.
Well, you know, guys, ICP, they said that they were Christians and that the whole thing had been like some secret ministry the whole time.
That's
so funny. Didn't they do like a waterfalls thing or something where it was like super emotional? Like,
miracles?
And they're like,
miracles.
Yeah, effing miracles.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa! Yeah, they are currently on Psychopathic Records. They announced their big tour with POD. I don't know if it's making its way to Albuquerque, but if it did, I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't go to that show.
There's a problem when a Christian band is playing with bands who are called Insane Clown Posse, Stitches, Dope, Young Wicked, and DOD.
Yeah. They're not coming to Albuquerque, guys. I know you're sad. I know you wanted to see ICP.
The only thing I want to do is jump around with a bunch of rednecks and wife beaters and murder people. That's exactly what I want to do on a Friday night.
Family reunion.
Hey, guys, you want to get our cleavers and go murder people? And jump around with clowns?
That is a serious question,
be careful,
you know?
Because didn't Dex get some flack for talking
about
Juggalos?
Our good friend Dex, who used to do a morning show here, he was talking about Juggalos, and they actually showed up to his house. Like, they were very
You be
serious.
Careful, Nate.
And that's exactly why I'm saying those are not the kind of people you want to go to a concert
which
with.
Which is why I immediately
like, literally, them doing that just ratifies exactly what I just said about
right,
them.
And so that's the question, because they're part of the Whosoever's movement, and they go to the darkest of the dark places, so as to say, man, I can't even begin to judge their heart, and maybe the Lord called them to this ministry, but opening for ICP, y'all, POD. POD.
I don't know, man. If the Lord called
I feel
me
like
to
POD
be a
has made a number of questionable decisions over the past few years.
Yeah. Would you Jonah that situation, Taylor?
That's what I was
like,
about to say.
You have
like,
to
nope.
spit me up on that stage.
There's two
whale.
Things. If the Lord called
out.
Me to be an ICP or be a Juggalo, or if he called me to live in Phoenix, I would straight up be like, I don't know, man. Nineveh.
Dude, I'll always be a fan of Youth of the Nation, but I don't think I'm going there.
Yeah, it's called the Dark Carnival.
Well, here's what Marcos had to say about it. He was doing an interview in Detroit.
Wicked Clowns in the Flesh is literally on their poster.
Marcos, the guitar player.
Yeah, and he said, I don't know if I can go to press with this yet, but why not? I guess we're going to be out with ICP for a month in October. It's a different thing for us, but they keep inviting us to their Juggalo Festival, The Gathering. At first, we were like, man, I don't really know if we fit on this, but it works, and their fans are into it. So we were invited to do this new tour, and we're going to go do it. So what I'm hinting at is that we're going to be back out in Detroit with ICP for their Halloween show.
Man, yikes. Scary.
Spending Halloween 1 in Detroit, 2 with ICP on Halloween. Ugh.
I guess you could look at it kind of like how Triple X Church goes to the porn convention.
Yeah.
Except with murder added into it.
They don't all commit murder. It's just the more extreme
ones. It's like the Sons of Anarchy version. In real life, I don't think they're going around murdering everyone. I feel like that's like...
Except for on Halloween in Detroit.
Well, number one, you don't want to be going to Detroit, period.
So there's already murder.
In real life...
And then you
life,
add in insane clowns into that mixture.
Today is See You at the Pole. If you didn't have anything to pray for, pray for POD. Going on tour with ICP. I don't know, man. Sonny is such a great guy. He's a really nice dude, and he's so genuine.
I'm sure those guys are looking at this as a ministry opportunity.
They've got to be.
You know they are.
Man, that you've got to be called, as you said. I'm not a Triple X Church kind of guy. I could not go to a porn convention. I could not go out on the road with ICP, because that's just one of those, they better get their prayers right and start binding up ICP, am I right?
Dude, genuinely,
Full circle.
Just the concept of scary clowns. And people
right!
running around with cleavers.
No, I know!
Is the worst nightmare that I could ever think of.
There you go. Well, that's it for us.
If those clowns turn into snakes.
I will not watch movies about demons, and I will not watch movies about clowns.
There you go. Where is our outro?
That's up to you, man.
Yeah.
Dude, the insane clowns stole it.
They did. They tried to take it from us. You can take our lives, but you'll never take our shock.
There's an I'm surprised they're not coming to Albuquerque, because there's an inordinate amount of ICP juggalos in Albuquerque.
Right.
That's
right?
What I thought.
I see so many of those stupid bumper stickers around town.
I wouldn't call them stupid bumper stickers.
I see so many of those stupid demonic bumper stickers around town.
Tis true. If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, you can catch the podcast at star88.fm. Look up the Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, crap. There's a clown outside the window.
Oh, great. Pray for Nate. He's got it badder than all of us. Yeah. Grammar King right here. Woo! That's it for us.
It's a miracle.
Steve Monteo in the AM.
Goodbye.
The statements expressed on Shock Therapy Live by hosts, guests, or call-in listeners are solely opinions. They are not intended to be medical or psychological counseling. There are no licensed counselors present, and suggestions given on this program are non-clinical opinions of those who express them. If you are in need of professional help, please seek medical assistance. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the position of Star 88 staff or management or of Calvary Albuquerque.